Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, and I'm also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. Today is January the 11th, 2011, which is a very special day for me. I gave birth 30 years ago to my daughter, Ashley Lee, and it's happy giving birthday to me as well. I want to start off with something I wrote her a while back when my children were small. It's called The Innocence. Believe as the innocence of a child. Interwoven with secret hidden within golden grains of hourglass sand, where well-kept sacred treasures left a faint shadow of my childhood land. Sweet words of echo of laughter falter far beyond sound, far within reach in a future distance, like a melody sweetly playing to be found. Once where I dreamed and pretended, precious memories within my mind, when things and people were so magic and make believe I could also find, I would cast all my real wishes upon twinkle, twinkle, little star, while living in the existence of my safe haven, where only magic and make believe know who you are. As the hourglass filtered each grain empty, without realizing the time of the last golden grain of sand, the innocence of my childhood was left in the yesterdays, and becoming an adult and living in the real world began. Interwoven and secretly hidden treasures were the innocence of my childhood faint shadows did hide, kissed with the magic of make-believe in Dreamland Town, played effortlessly, sweetly, with a melody that soon our future within distance of time. As the last feel of joy and blessings, God chose me to be a mother of three. My unique, beautiful children, Jason, Ashley, and Matthew, they became their own dreamland with make-believe. And I just wanted to share that. Now, tonight's program, as you know, I do not plan for my shows. It takes the flavor out of the concoction. So I believe that because my daughter Ashley is going to have her first child, my first grandchild, Avery Lee, and they have contemplated over the name for so many months and just came up with Avery's name, I would like to share with you something else that I have written. And you guys, let's change that. Scratch that. Y'all have all heard Blessed Be One's name. You know, sometimes it's real important to go within yourself and give yourself silence. And other people are silenced among you in your life. And for no reason at all, or for a reason that maybe one can't comprehend, because we live in our own truth and we're powerless over other people. And I just want to share something that will really, really, really mean a lot to me to be able to do. The thing is that we have to realize that we are in charge of our very own. No one else is, and no one can make us feel, act, or behave any other way. It's up to us to choose how to act upon a reaction, and vice versa, a reaction to an action. So, if something's pressing on me, like a silence within the timeless ways of a communication, that pressing on me, it was, and indeed, a distance from all that needed space. It was like an isolation of solitude, and I had to go within its accepted place. But many and only few really know the isolation of serenity, that force that controls us, calling me to surrender to the uttermost indescribable feelings within, where my self is rolling and I cannot hide, that knowing oneness of me and God, that pressing force that is totally allowing myself to become just the purity of the inside truth of me. I can't hide from myself. I have to face myself. I have to face myself with all ways, shapes, and forms. and look at my part in things. And in order to do that, I have to go into the isolation of serenity. It's very, if I keep my patience, which I am so patient now, all of this will come for all in time. All the answers will come. And it will come from my unconscious mind, and it'll just birth forth into my consciousness. And in that here and now, and in this time, right now, I become aware and fully conscious, being bluntly honest, the only way I know I can, to tell things as a matter of fact, but in such a timely manner, playing it out, weighing it out, being patient, because I cannot force it. I have to encourage it along with patience. With no secret shadows hidden within myself, a need to be in sync with the rhythm of the time is to not be too comfortable within one's own skin. That's where I go to meditate and find how I need to listen with my heart and not my mind. I had to surrender in a timely order in order to accept the comfortableness within my own skin, because nothing can get under my skin if I'm evolved. To that own self be true, there is no way out. I have to stress that to everybody that is listening here on BBS Radio, that there is no way out of our own self. We have to be true to ourselves. And within the beginning of my very own passion's reasoning of meaning, which is my purpose of choice, my all or nothing God-given freedom of freeness, which causes my actions from growth of reactions, the total cause and effects that have affected me and all others, the people, the places, and the things I had ever come in an inkling of contact in time with. For I realize now that my favorite place is in tomorrow. For this moment and past is left behind. There is no more sorrow. History's bittersweet passes now depart. Are broken, shattered pieces of my now mended heart. Many yesterdays that I'm known as a we, but to this date I regenerate as a W in the we, now turned inside, upside, downward to represent only me. I know if I take that me and turn it right side up, the M to the W of we, I will have me and God inside of me, and that's all I need to be. I know now it is time for me to be inside myself, rejuvenate and revamp and look back at the past with beautiful, timeless future of what it holds, for a mystery of what is causing me to survive inside. Because this time, I realize that tomorrow mends my separate soul. If I am not totally centered and one with God, I could drive all over the streets within my mind. And I've learned a hard lesson that way, which is repeating the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Till I learn that lesson within myself, I will constantly go there and go all over the streets within my mind. I travel now with vibrantly alive. The forces tell us all the truths within ourselves inside. And this time, all doing in the truest of love, which it does mend. Thus the shadows of the secret hidden in the eye's mind, so blind, but willingly to listen to God that's inside. He can see, hear, feel, think all things for me. If I surrender on my human side. So I go within, within, again and again. And I seek to understand so much. But the knowledge this time has given its gain, not to answer, because the force of God knows all. If I seek the understanding and not answers, then the understanding of that particular thought or that feeling will be brought. If I seek answers, then more questions will come, because that's just the way it is. And only one person truly knows, and one entity knows all the answers, and that's God. So if I surrender to the force of God that knows all, the wisdom is the lesson that once learned within solitude, I do not have to feel the pain. Within standings, insanities, repetitive mistakes, and hearing that timeless, now-timed wake-up call, when the weakness of sorrows shatter did its toll, time in silence holds. So this story I am telling and the story that's told, I am the timer, the timekeeper of the secret doors that open within my knowledge and wisdom that I keep closed within myself for the mysteries that only I know of. Know that the time of the knowledge wisdom keepers free up my space to allow me to ramble about in the rooms and the doors and expose all my secret treasures place. For eternal are my thoughts forever as placed in the journey seekers to find. My truth in the bright light's pathfinder's way, I change not, for I am the holder of all events, not darkness ever turn inward this bright light, because my spiritual pathfinder's way is my way to give gifts to help others find the day and way. Eternal flames in its light and beyond the beginning, then I become. And every cycle turns and forces me deeper within a time. After the time unspoken silent, mysteries of God's spiritual journey, as I reach beyond the never-ending events, I become like God, and He becomes my thinking, and He preoccupies me, and He is my sooner or later, for I am never mistaken. I am, before you can think, I am your time in between. That's what God told me to look and see. The moment's because it's time, and all that is here and now is the time that I am with you always, that after a while will keep your timekeeper's chime. I will always be in your times, not yet very much so up to your inkling of place, but within myself, I have God and my amazing grace. I am your beginning, says God. The time is the reasons that I see you. And next time, around that time, when time will tell and goes wasting, time is always perfect and you are right where you're supposed to be. Time is always well spent, the timeline of passions, the reasons, and in its timely meaning, the due time of our purpose, our choice of free will. Realize time is never ending. It is endless. It hasn't been easy. But the silence withdrawn into the words of myself and within Him. Not that I was uncomfortable within my own solitude, but inviting God within to be part of me. I have company always. Someone that loves me always. And somebody that understands God and directs me in the proper manner. If I ask God every morning to speak for me, do for me, act for me, be for me, live for me, walk for me, talk for me, that's an earth wisdom. If I do that, then I'm centered at all times. When I veer off from that, which I am human, and humans make mistakes, then I will start acting out the ways of the human race. So within oneness of Him, in the rhythms of the time that I hold, accomplished and acclaimed, my oneness with Him is a matter of my time and self that is so satisfied. The silence and fearing that it might accuse me of being empty inside. If I am so full of myself, then how empty will I find when I invite Him in with me now? In that empty space, I fill myself up with God's amazing grace. And in such time and manner that I now see my glass totally empty instead of half full or half empty. If I empty my vessel out and empty my glass out and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to fill me up, then I will never be empty, and he will be knowing how to spend my time in a timeless manner. I fear the silence at first, in the knowing that I may hear the sounds of my own suffering and the suffering of my own world. But now I realize in this communication that I have quietly meditated upon, that the force that I put within me, God's whispers, look within and see all that I'm needed and all that I want to be. So those empty places in that paradise now are filled. He filled me up at the beginning, as once there was only me and my heart, silent and still. The trust that I look within and look so long to rebuild, for someone can come and knock it down, but that's their own cup that they spilled. To become in my rhythm of my sweet words that falter far beyond sound is only a melody that I can hear if I am calm and quiet in the silence in the here and now. My heart's harmony is always in need to listen first without reacting to such silence within. For I have used this silence as a lesson, just learning and truly learning to listen within. Now I want to look within and see all the beauty that is now, for my light is shining so brightly, and the power of discernment and clarity is now routed routinely, and the clouded reinformed by matters of all its impulses, the hankering emotions, the arterial motives, the intuitional thoughts, and that to myself, in fact, may be fear. So if I discern and by all means separate myself from all of the outside world, then therefore I am attempting to be separate within myself and God and keep the faults away from my ripening vine. For if I do it, just a bit of honey, and I gather and draw things near to me, material aspects are just that, as spiritual evolves around. So if I listen to the various voices within me, the self-talk, it is what the hunter hunts, also the hunter will be hunted. So I have realized that by surviving, the interesting option that I have is anything that's growing towards my calling and asking me to come towards it. If I use my discernment, if I use God inside, then all will be a heavenly abide. So what I do is I write by going within myself and casting all my secret shadows onto some paper while they dance around. And I ask myself, am I ready to come out and see what I have found? So the beauty of all of this is that I put me in the silence. I so solemnly saw in the darkness, in the dark room, which once was developing the full picture, still underexposed. For I realize if I am not patient and I open that dark room door, God's not finished with my picture of life. And it could ruin the picture if I open the dark room door too soon, because only he, my God, which I choose to call Jesus Christ, knows the picture, the perspective, and when it is perfectly exposed. For that dark room door is my mind's heart and my soul, to soon I will be found. If I ruin this picture, the spiritual developing of my inner twin soul, my mind and my heart, which are each other for so many years within myself as my treasure keeper, I look inside and follow and see now all is well inside. For him now, in the darkness that I have seen, into others and one soul, elude now, null and void, and I become my own self I have now found. I do not question anyone's motives, nor due to the fact of what they had go through. If I focus on myself and realize that I'm not guilty of a trial and I do not need a judge, those were hidden things in my closet that I manifested inside. So the closet secret I have seen in the dark, not mine, because I love the secret garden within my heart, where I find Jesus is my vine. Only the key inside is the restful, beautiful, loving light as I have to weed out all the debris so that I can see the meaning that is the true meaning for me, the meaning of God's spirit, soul, and mind and body for me. Like no other human being will ever come close to knowing my personal relationship with him, because I can only speak my truth to the truth is the light, and I'm the light brightly shining within myself as my pathfinder's way. All are a bright light searching for that pathfinder's way. We cannot live others' lives for them. We cannot control them. We cannot tell them what to do. And we can share words of communication, but we have to be evolved enough to understand the communication through. So interwoven from the darkest of the threads into the one golden strand of all. Don't forget the forget-me-nots, because each knot has its toll. And as the darkness that once was, and sitting in the silence at his right hand, this bright light's pathfinder is always and forever. For this I have now found where I stand. I wrote that back in 2005 for myself to go into my forest and come out of the forest, the million-mile journey. I've realized over the past, especially this first of the year, that when it snowed yesterday, a good foot, it didn't have one single footprint in the snow. It was pure. As God states, I will wash you clean as white as snow. All you have to do is forgive yourself, forgive others, and come to me, and I will forgive you and wash everything away clean and pure and white as snow. My path in front of me right now has not one marred, stepped footprint in the snow. From this moment forward, I will be on my own within myself and God, and I will allow him to help me walk that path for me to find all into the heaven's bounds. For I am now learning and realizing that I am storing up my treasures here on earth so that I can have that glorious beauty of all treasures in heaven that I'll find. I don't know why I rhyme all the time, but I do. I just can't help it. I do. And it's kind of cool because I'm sitting here talking to myself. I know I'm talking to you guys. I know I'm talking to all those active listeners out there. But I get so wrapped up in talking to you guys that I am listening. Actually, it's my lesson that I always find, because when I speak it, it's something within me. And it's a mirror that I have when I do not have anyone talking back with me, because I'm mirroring a reflection of what I need to hear again and find. So with that given, Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to 2011. It's going to be a fabulous year. It's going to be phenomenal. As I told in one broadcast, I believe right before, I think it was the beginning of the year, I said that I felt a polar shift coming about. This was probably, I felt it a while back, but I feel that the North Pole and the cycles are going to churn and just bounce right on out. I've got it written in my journals, you know, and it's the whole story about it. But in order for us to evolve, what I've realized is that when things pile on, it's just like a house. You know, we have this house inside, and we have to clean out the closet sometimes. We have to take the trash out. We have to change things here and there. Well, that's just like Earth. You know, clean sweeping, clean out the trash and garbage and debris. And sometimes it takes us to our knees and not understanding. But don't look, I say, at the dark room door before God's finished with the picture, or my perspective will be underexposed. Now, I want to say that, I don't know what I want to say. There's so much I want to say that it's beyond. I know that I'm an individual. I know I only have to answer to me and God. I know that there's judgment out there, but that's not my problem. If others want to focus on me or, you know, see what they think in me, then that I have realize that that power, you know, is not my problem. That's their power problem. If I focus on someone else, then I am putting all my power into focusing on them. Is it worth my time? But what is it that I'm needing to learn? What is it that is causing that focus to feel unsolved within myself? So, as I've told you, worry's like a rocking chair. That's my mother's saying. It gets me nowhere. If I pick something up, which I collect stones and rocks, and put that in my lap, and focus all of that moment that is bothering me of someone or something, person, place, or thing, is something inside of me that I need to understand and learn and gain. Because if I don't have the knowledge, how can I apply it to my wisdom? That is something that's very, very, very important to me. Now, anybody that's listening out there, everybody that's listening out there, there are some call-in numbers right there on www.bbsradio.com. Station 1, I am on Station 1, and we are Bridging Wisdom. How about giving a call in if you'd like? If not, I'll just keep talking. But tell me what your wisdom, what your plans, do you have any plans? Are you staying in the moment? Do you feel about goals? Do you feel that we need to weave in and out? And you know how people weave in and out of our lives, and they may have their own ulterior motives of why they're in our life. But if I allow that person in my life, if I allow that person in my life, I bless it and I am thankful for each moment and each time and each thing that I live in this lifetime with that person in my life, with another person, with people, places, and things everywhere. It's up to me to choose to stay centered, up to me to stay in the moment, and up to me to realize what the lesson I have found. I have found a beautiful spirit and a wonderful man, and I realize that a lot of times it's just not in God's plan. Sometimes we are placed in each other's paths for a certain time, and we leave, and then we come back because there's something that's still gratifications for us to see and need. But with respect and with understanding of each other, respecting myself first so that I can respect other people and realize that what things in it for me is not what the whole situation's about. It's to the good. Whatever I do and how I act, how is it going to affect another person? Because I believe the attitude is 98% of what's made up with my gratitude. And if I am not centered, my gratitude will not rectify and get any good from that attitude, because my attitude can be just nasty or hateful or just downright rotten. But I realize, I ask forgiveness of myself. I go to anybody from this moment back that I have harmed, misunderstood, as they've misunderstood me, and I ask you to forgive me as well as I forgive you, and I go to God with all from my 55 years coming in February back, and I place it at his altar, at his cross, and now I don't have to carry that anymore. I've got a clean page, new sharp pencil, and I can write anything in my life I want to from this moment forward. Remember, the tightrope that I talked about. We walk on a tightrope. We've got to know with faith, not walk by faith, not by sight. Because if I don't know that one foot in front of the other, this path to the heavenly star-bound heavens is so narrow. So narrow. That in an inkling of this time, we could be booped out of this world. And how has I behaved? And is my vessel clean this time? So I look out and I look up, not down and look out because I could stumble and fall. And I walk by faith and not by sight. And I allow myself to just know. I had a dream the other night, y'all. Blew my mind. I was walking on water. Literally walking on top of water. I was just walking all around. And God said to me, he says, how are you doing that? And I said, because I just know. And he goes, and how is that? I said, because you told me I could do so. And because I know that my God of my understanding, which I call Jesus Christ, he has the best interest of heart for me because I'm one of his children. He's one. He has so many children. We're all children of God. And with that, how would you treat your own child on this earth that's in the womb of Mother Earth that we're just loaned for a while? You know, the love and compassion we have for our own blood and our own children, even if they're adopted. God loves us so much more. He loves the sparrows. In the Bible, he talks about three different, the Bible talks about three significant birds. One is a sparrow. And he says, I love the sparrow that goes two for a penny so much. If I can love a little sparrow that much, can you imagine how much I love you, my own child? So let me say, I'm going to say, 5 years back, there's this little sparrow that just comes flying in my house and makes himself at home. And the other sparrows, they sit at the window door and the door sill. Some come right to the door sill and stand. And they just think, and the other one goes, and it says, hey, it's like the one sparrow saying to the other that's in the house, what are you doing? How do you know you can trust her? And the other sparrow says, because you can feel the love she has. You can feel that she's harmless and you can feel that she cares. And what I get out of that, I have lizards come in. I have the birds that tap on my windows for me to feed them. And I've got little rabbits and squirrels that come up to me. I now have some deer. I have deer in the yard. And, you know, I realize that animals mock us. You know, it's amazing because I had a squirrel one time climb up my leg, watching me play kickball with my brothers and sisters. And evidently it was just a baby because it had, our third base was a big old, like a sappy cedar tree. And it one day came down when I was standing on third base, ran up my leg and got up and nestled in my hair. That little squirrel's name was Squirrely. And we kept it in a bird cage at night, but it was loose during the day. And I realized that it was mocking me, watching me run and play. And it, being a little baby, decided it wanted to play too. And the moral of that story I learned is that, you know, I read the TNT News Trader a lot on BBS Radio. Somebody has come upon a little creature. It's a little hedgehog. And has shared that story from the beginning when the hedgehog came. And how the hedgehog is now in hibernation from its little box that the person made for it and closed it itself and closed himself up inside of it because it's time to hibernate. But what I contemplate is why my dad took that squirrel off away from me. But first he tested it to see if it would come right back to me, and it did. So he had to take it way off in the woods because he knew it was best for that squirrel. As it aged, it was probably 6 months later, and it needed to make a life for itself away from humans. So it had learned from me and learned that some humans are just that, very trusting, very loving and caring. So with that little hedgehog, I wonder and contemplate, you know, if that little hedgehog, when that person's ready to let it go after this hibernation, just lets it go on the outside of his yard, I wonder if that hedgehog will always depend on that human. You know, I don't know. But then again, has it been domesticated? And we'll have a hard time in survival out there in the world. So those are things I think about a lot. I think about how we affect anything that we love and care about and how that saying goes, if you love it, set it free. If it comes back, it's meant to be. Hold on. The thing is, too, now, Doreen, I want to talk up a little bit, changing the subject. You know, my mother had a very difficult time with understanding what a shaman was. And she got somebody to download what a shaman was. And you know, anybody can write anything and put it on that internet. They can condone it. They can make it look great, whatever. And the thing is that it told her that letter about the shaman told her it was a cult. And she was horribly devastated that her daughter could be in a cult. And it tore me up. It was something that Michael Goger and I had broadcast a couple of weeks ago on Bridging Wisdom. And we were talking about the different types of things that are out there, you know, and you know, how there's different kinds of magic or whatever, and what to look for and what not to look for. But what happened, and I'm using this as an example, my mother only listened to part of the broadcast before she jumped to conclusions and wanted to understand what a shaman was, which she read was a cult. And see, my house is set up with an altar. And each person I pray for and do split soul retrievals and, you know, bring their split soul together, which to me gets lost in the shuffle when we come here on earth, because our soul God created in one image and that was his soul. And when we, on my altar, I'll have all kinds of things. I have, it. I mean, it might be a few acorns for something, you know, but that was like a representation of a gift that after I do something, if I work with a client and it's over and I've cleansed myself from the auras of that person, I always get a gift. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's an acorn, I'll pick it up. If that's the first thing I see, and then I'll contemplate on what that little acorn represents to me, which is a seed, and it will grow its own tree of life. But that seed is the seeds that we pass on to all people. And there's different types of seeds because Satan loves to plant lies in our head, you know, in our thoughts, and that negative self-doubt. But know them as by their fruit, it says in the Bible. Know them by their fruit. The consistency of a person. If they stay consistent, if they're not on again, off again, on again, off again, this and that. Don't realize I am not saying not have them in your life. By all means, everyone crosses a path. And everyone comes into someone's life for a meaning of purpose and a purpose of good reason. And it's up to us to choose how to look at that and love it for what it is. And then, you know, some people come, they leave our lives. They might come back later. But realize, keep your doors open to understanding, but just gently shut that those people need to be on their own. People need to be let go in order to find their truth and their path in their life. Because a lot of times people tend to become chameleons towards each other. And they become, you know, what is it, the laughing hyena or whatever. They mimic or mock each other. And that is not healthy. Because everybody needs to stand and be their own individual and in their own truth that. And because of that, I cannot make anybody do anything. I cannot tell anybody how they feel. I cannot tell anybody what to do, but I can ask them and I can share parts of my life with them, and I can become as Christ-like as I possibly can in order to give that unconditional love. I'm not to say, people, don't get me wrong, whatever you find in your higher power, it doesn't matter, because I'm not judging you. This is my truth and my walk and my path that I'm sharing with you. And I realize a lot, I've realized a whole lot, that if I take a moral inventory of myself on a daily basis and stay in that moment and write about it, I'm a writer, I love to journal, and I love to keep my dreams up and things, and really don't lie to myself. I can hide it, but if I do not face the actual true rawness of my motives, of why I do things, or what things come about in my life, if I don't do a check, an inventory check on myself, that crap goes down inside myself, inside of my subconscious mind, and I will relive it and act it out in all different ways and shapes and forms to other people, places, and things. So I, myself, for me, I look at my side of the street and keep it clean and realize that everything and everybody is a lesson in my life. Good, bad, or indifferent, whether they stay forever or whether they come and go. But the thing is that only I know what I feel. Only I know what I think. And only I know how I'm affecting myself. Now, I can spit out things to people and be upset and angry at them, but I don't have the power to cause them to feel anything. No one is a victim. We make our own selves a victim because the circumstance has a house of its own. How I choose to experience something and how I choose to feel, that is my power of myself. No one can make me feel anything. No one can make a false guilt or a real guilt or even a shame placed upon me unless I choose to allow it. because to me, I read this book one time. It was called, it was called What You Think of Me Is None of My Business by Terry Lynn Whittaker. It was a school book that I had to read to get my internship for counseling. And it was so funny because it starts out with, what is guilt? And there's two types of guilt. There's real guilt and there's false guilt. Now, real guilt is when somebody steals something or when somebody lies intentionally and they hold the consequences or they do something against the moral law. You know, what morals are, which is it's just the law of the way things really are out there, the way we live. And there's this false guilt. That's where somebody will say, you made me do this, or you made me do this, or you won't let me do this, or you won't let me do that. Manipulation into false guilt. Or like give an example of say, like I'm going to go to a party or I'm going to go out to dinner with somebody and say I have my grandmother living here. And my grandmother goes, go on and have a good time. I'll just sit here by myself and watch TV and I'll be all right. You know, that makes me, it doesn't make me, but I choose it to go out to have that party and all that little subliminal seeds that were planted in my head. Grandma's home alone. Grandma's watching TV by herself. I wonder if she's all right because she said she'll be all right, but is she really? That's false guilt. Okay? There's two different kinds. And what happens with human beings to me is the fact that when they've done some wrongdoing or they have not checked their moral inventories or their motives, and it just splats out, you know, words and actions from their reactions, the cause and effect, which is karma. Because I'm doing karma right now, which speaking, you know, it's instant karma. But if you think about it, which I'm thinking about it because I'm speaking about it, because I don't know. I'm asking myself here, out here, broadcasting live to upteen million, thousand, billion, upteen listener ears that will finally get around to hearing this message because it'll spread. You know, we all learn from each other and we share. That's what the beauty of this whole thing is, sharing what you hear from other people. If it is something needed, you keep it. If it's something you might need for later, of some piece of wisdom or something along the way, then store it, you know, hold it in your filing cabinet in your heart. But if it's something that is not kosher with you, gives you anxiety or gives you an unclean feeling inside yourself, ditch it, let it go, and just don't even think about it twice. Now, I want to say also that if I stayed centered, and people go, how do you stay centered? So centered, Kathy. And how do you stay in that moment? Well, the thing is that I walked through myself, pulling out every little thing that I possibly could see by standing on the edge of the ocean, where the inlet and the ocean meet out at our beach home at Ocean Isle. And I said, okay, God, take me. Show me now all the defects I have in my life, because I am so ready and willing to do what it takes for me to be a part of this universe change, the way the new world is going to become, for my part to be in it. And I choose to be whatever you want me to be. But I ask you before I do this to remove all people, all places, and all things in my life that are not good and healthy for this path. And the whole thing is that I had a part in their lives, in their place, that I needed to look at and why things were like they were in my life. Slowly but surely. You don't have to go through all your moral inventory. You don't have to go through every little incident and every little thing, because what it is you let go and let God gently, so gently, things will come into your heart by listening to your heart, which is the center where God and I are one. It's a garden. It's raw, and it's what I came down here with from the heaven bounds. If I listen what is written on my heart, which is in Romans, for it is written in our hearts to speak what we are told to speak, for only no more, no less, because that's what a prophet does. If God is speaking to me and I project it outwardly by asking God to speak for me, do for me, act for me, and be for me, and I stay totally centered, I don't have to look at all those hurts, you know, all that, you know, back in the day. But I have to look at it and have it brought forth, but I don't have to relive it. I have to just place it at the mercy as a beautiful present, because God died for me, and it's a present, a prayer, letting go of that situation, or the praise of thanking him for what he has brought forth in my minds and my heart to learn from that situation or lesson that I so greatly let go of and let God. But it's just like I've said many times, a present, letting go of it and giving it to God is so hard, because it's something we want to hold on to. Why? That's something that each one of you active listeners are going to have to figure out yourself. But when I'm meditating, I've learned that if I meditate on one word or one thought, just keep speaking it over and over, then my subconscious mind will indeed bring up issues that it wants addressed. All my subconscious mind wants is to be acknowledged. Once I acknowledge that I hear you thought, and I will think about you in 5 minutes, or I will write about you and go back to my one word or my staring into my life. Whatever one chooses to have as their one word mantra, it doesn't matter. I use Jesus as the light, the light, the light, the light, the light. And I just go, the light, the light, the light. And then all of a sudden something will creep in my mind, like maybe I have to go to the grocery store, an issue that happened, and I just go, I acknowledge you, I know you're there, and I will think about you or write about you, because all the things that are in our subconscious mind are people, places, and things that have affected my life somewhere along the way since my birth. And if they keep coming up, if I write about it in my journal, then it all evolves outwardly. And it becomes from my inside out to a piece of paper, and I have dumped it. You know, I don't have to look at that paper. Even if I write, how empty of me to be so full of you. Or like some things, people stay on my mind, like an overdue library book. Or let's say I find that he's a piece of sheet music that anyone can play with practice. It doesn't matter what you write. Just put something out there. I can't stress enough the power of a journal. Because then when you go back, that's what's so cool. Put it up and away, but go back to it someday. And I want to share with you what I'm writing. This is really cool. I'm writing a thing for housekeeping, psychic mind thought housekeeping, and how our gifts that we have been given by God are to be kept up. The tools have to be kept clean and used, or they'll get rusty. But I have to find it. It's in this journal somewhere. I just started it, though. But the thing is that if I share out what was so freely given to me, to you guys, to you active listeners, then maybe you'll find something inside just like me listening to the archive or to the broadcast on BBS Radio and listening with an open heart. Don't close my heart. If something is affecting me I don't like, then I hear, then it's something inside of me I need to look at. And if it's something I don't want to believe in, then I can put it to the side. I can dump it. But I have my choice. And I am me. All I'm meant and want to be. I am my own immeasurable clout. I am backed with that immeasurable clout. Everywhere I put me, I'm in between. It's every place that I've ever seen. The thing is that each are like I am me and you are you. We're uniquely packaged spiritually. So if we respect one another, respect when somebody says stop. Respect when somebody says let's not go there with the conversation. Respect their boundaries, because that's what I'm writing in this housekeeping. It's really, really cool if I can find it before my time's up, because I only got 5 minutes. An hour goes by so fast talking to you guys, because I can feel your energies and I can feel the wanderment. And I just want to thank each listener right now and the ones that listen to the archive, that what I've learned is from you guys, because you are the reason that I am out here. And because of that, you bless me so much. You bless me every moment of my day. I am so grateful. Oh, I found it. Okay, here's what I'm writing up so far. Well, on the other side, I got to tell you this. C equals 299,792,458M/S, which is S equals CT equals CX to the T. That is the physics of light, the light. That's the formula for light. I just found that in my journal. Okay, psychic etiquette, housekeeping. It's a must for psychic survival because of the energetic behaviors that we have. Okay, I'm going to get this done in 2 or 3 minutes. Okay, if you feel that yourself is being cut and bled, there's drama all around you, which is other people's junk. You know, those big drama people have a lot of huge, big auras, and they will dump on you all their problems and all their daily problems and situations of why this, why that. You know, even though they may be thinking out loud how to get from, you know, here to there or whatever the reason, it changed a lot. But that aura erupts. And when it does, the person that is very empathic, with the empathic, you know, ability to just want to listen and care, even though they don't want to listen to it, they don't have their permission to vent like that in such a way, you know, but they do it anyway. That energetic confusion is a psychic attack. That energetic aura that erupts oozes out all into that invaded place of that person that's listening to that junk being dropped out. Not to say you don't need to vent to somebody, but it's the thing is respectably so. And the kunda kinte, which rises in discomfort in a person, which is, you know, debalancing, that delicate balance draws the attacks to the empathic person. And a psychic vampire is the opposite of a big aura. It's the people that get attacked and feel drained and fatigued that have been around you. So if you look and you discuss that they have been discussing something, like telling the same scenario of something that they're trying to work on that has something to do with them, and dump it onto you, which is like sucking a person's energy, that force, making someone forced to listen to something, when someone has said stop or no, let's go somewhere else, if you think of that forcing to be listened to, in other words, do you seem to get groggy? Do you get confused and then suddenly have a bunch of energy yourself after listening? And it's the people, that time that has been spent with them, that sense of duty. Did you feel a sense of duty like you had to call your mother or like you had to do something? That is a psychic vampire because that vamps the person listening that feels your need and your duty to have to call them or be a part of their life because you haven't in a while because you've been busy. But that energy level vamps that person. And with that, I'm going to say one other thing. If it's fun and you're listening to a person to help them out, then it's a blessing because you learn from it as well. And with that shared of that fun inside yourself, you may become resentful and bitter because you have had to feel, you know, droggy. And but when a burst of energy comes out for somebody, you know, and they start talking 100 miles an hour, which I do 1,000 times because I'm just now realizing this as I'm writing it down because I didn't know till I wrote it down. And that is looking inside myself and seeing if it was a bitterment or an enlightenment. And with that, the world owes me nothing, but I owe the world something. And that's me being happy instead of putting people in a place to get pissed off over what I speak. But that's up to them to choose how to feel it. And with that, my friends, the streak of the vamp is in all people because we all are humanistic. And I want to thank each and every person that's listened. And this has been a wonderful hour. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Doug. And tell Seth I thank him as well. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, on my daughter's birthday, 1/11/11. Signing off for now. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. God bless.